I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the New Testament book of Romans, chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Romans chapter number 13, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, "For there is no power but of God." For there is no power but of God. I'd like to preach to you for just a few moments on that thought. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the time you've given to us to open thy word and to read it. Lord, now comes the time to preach. And I pray, Lord, for your power, for your anointing, your unction. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be attentive and hear what you would have us to hear and to understand the things you would have us to understand. Lord, help us to get a better grasp of what your will is in these matters. Lord, help us to carry on the work for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his wonderful and lovely name we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We realize, by way of the Scriptures, that it's God that ordains human government. Since it's God ordained, we have a duty, a responsibility, as believers, to honor it and to obey the laws. The only time that we can respectfully refuse to disobey is where God's Word teaches us otherwise. One case that we would find in the New Testament would be in the book of Acts, chapter number 5. If you'll remember, when Peter and some of the other followers of the Lord Jesus Christ have been put in prison, and God miraculously delivered them from the prison, and the magistrates went after them, and they found them in the synagogues. They were preaching there. And after they'd went to the prison and found that they weren't there, somebody come and said, they're over in the temple, they're preaching, they're out telling the story. They came and said, "We told you, we forbade you to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And then the Bible says in Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 29, the Bible says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." There are times when if the government enforces a law that does not abide by the Word of God, then we must stand firmly on the truth of God's Word. Recently, in our land, we had an election in order to vote for many of our leaders of our country for the next several years. I believe we're very fortunate to be living in a land where we can have a say in who leads our country. We ought to thank God for that privilege. This election, there were record numbers of voters. Many voted for their candidate for different reasons. There were some people that voted because of the ideas of a candidate. Some that voted for one because they opposed the other. Some strictly because of party. Some people said, "I'll never vote for this party," and others said, "I'll never vote for that party." Well, pardon me, but shame on any of us that wouldn't be willing to look beyond a party because the parties don't stand what they once stood for. Some simply because of race, and I think more so in this case than any other. That's not a downfall. I'm not condemning that. But I think we all understand that we have more people vote. We live in a land of freedom, in a land where we have a right to vote. We ought to thank God for that. In elections, there's always the winner and there's always the loser. But as long as we have our freedom and our right to vote, then I want you to know we're all winners. We have a great privilege. I want to look tonight, just for a few moments, about two things concerning government and God's people. First of all, I want you to see the reason for government. The reason for government. The Bible says in verse 3 and verse 4 of our text tonight, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." So when we start thinking about the reason for government, we realize that human government truly started after the flood. Do you remember? When Noah was here and God was giving Noah certain commands, if you will. And he was talking to his family about their responsibilities. And in essence, he gave him the sword of government. In Genesis chapter number 9 and verse number 6, the Bible says, as God was speaking to Noah, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." And we found the first execution of human government, in other words, the first responsibility of human government given to Noah. And we look at this and we understand what's going on here, and we realize that this is the highest function of government. It's the judicial taking of a life. The one thing emphasized in the divine decree given to Noah. And all other functions of government are implied in that. You think about it, you say, what do you mean? In other words, according to the scripture, government is here to protect the nations and the people. Government is put forth to preserve the nations, to preserve the rights of all, and then also to punish the evil and the wicked. That's government's responsibility. Government is here to allow us to have freedoms. The powers that be are ordained of God, is what the Bible says. And in doing so and in thinking of these things, we realize certain aspects. John Phillips, in one of his commentaries, wrote this, and I'll read it, paragraph to you. It says, "Despite the abuses of governmental power, human government is still a divine institution. The powers that be are ordained of God. The word powers here means delegated authorities, and the word ordained means appointed. Evil men may be elected to power or may seize power. They may have no thought of God at all, but the very fact that he permits them to seize the reins of government means that he has a purpose to fulfill even through their misrule. It is a saying well worth considering that people get the kind of government they deserve. Governments may be weak or strong, just or oppressive, benevolent or cruel, wise or foolish, but in each case God has his way and moves his own plan forward. Democracies and dictatorships alike are under his control. God balances one nation off against another. He uses one nation to chastise another. Nations come and go, kingdoms rise and fall, empires wax and wane, but behind them all is God overruling in the affairs of men. Wars and rumors of war, famines and pestilences, depressions and disasters, all are woven into the fabric of history. From our viewpoint, the strands may seem tangled, meaningless, hopelessly knotted, unequal, and wrong. But the tapestry he is weaving is perfect. And all the pressures of satanic force and human sin are gloriously overruled by a God who is both omnipotent and omniscient." In other words, it is God that allows people to be kings and presidents and rulers. It is God that allows people to sit upon the thrones, to sit upon certain seats, to be in certain places of leadership. Even in lands of communism, it is God. In lands of freedom, where we live, it is God. We have a right to vote and a right to choose, and we exercised that right this past week. Some people won in their vote and some people lost in their vote. But the truth of the matter is that the one that is the president-elect of the United States is ordained by God. Whether you like it or not, he is ordained by God. Whether you like this past or not, he is ordained by God. The problem in churches is that we have forgotten that. If our men don't get in, then we begin to think that everything's falling and everything's going downward. Everything's on a wrong road. But I want you to know that it is God who sets up the kings of this world. It is God who places men in authority. It is God who has the final say in all of it. And the reason for government is to protect us. By the way, it's to preserve, it's to protect from the lawlessness. And sometimes that means war is inevitable. You may or may not like it, but I want to tell you something. If somebody doesn't fight for freedoms in other countries, then this world's in bad shape. But I thank God for America that's gone to set some people free. While we've talked about the Iraqis and the Iraq War and all that, you know, and then we've heard all the stories they're wanting, some of them said they want to withdraw the troops, and the Iraqi government saying, we need to get you out of here. But just this past week, they said, please don't leave. Please don't leave. We're not there yet, and we're not ready yet. Everybody has a right to freedom, and that's what America's fought for so many years. Has it been handled right? Has everything went the way that we want it to go? I don't think any of us likes war. None of us care about that. But we're a far cry from what happened when World War I was over and we claimed victory. And World War II was over and we claimed victory. And we were waving the American flag. Now we've become so enlightened. Ever since the Korean War and then the Vietnam War and then the first Gulf War and now this war. Everybody's down on it, but people don't understand that somebody has to fight for freedom. Amen. Like it or not, God has chosen America to be freedom fighters. Amen. I'm not a president. I'm not political. I don't know how things are handled, but I do trust the leadership of our men and our armed forces. And I have to listen to what they have to say. By the way, before we condemn the past president, you better forget there was a whole bunch of congressmen and senators that voted to send him from both parties. See, instead of putting down, we were supposed to be lifting up. And instead of putting down the next president, we're supposed to be lifting him up. That brings me to my second point. We see the reason for government. I want you to see the responsibility of Christians. It's important for us to understand this. The responsibility of Christians when it comes to Christians and government. Number one, you're going to say, what in the world are you saying here, preacher? Number one, the Christians have to pay. Oh, yes. Just like everybody else. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. What things? The things they're responsible for, the reason they're there, to protect, to preserve, to prevent evil from coming into our land, to protect this land. And they have a right. We pay them to watch over our country. You would not believe how many people I know that say they're Christians that try to get out of paying taxes. I've got news for you. I don't like paying taxes, but it is my civic duty to pay taxes. And it's yours. And it's biblical. Now, I think it gets a little bit excess sometimes. But the powers that be are ordained of God. They're the ones that raise it. They're the ones that lower it. That's why we have a say. If we don't like those that raise it, then we vote against them. But there's more than just taxes at stake. So you have to look at all of it, right? But we have to pay. We have to realize it is our responsibilities. Our leaders have the right to be paid to do their job in protection, preserving, and punishing the evil. It seems like anymore they let the evildoers go and they punish those that's trying to live right. They let those go and they're saying, let's pay for those that's not willing to go out and try to find work and trying to get a job. Let's let them stay on welfare when maybe they could do something, and then let's punish those that have a little bit. You know, it's just something's not right. There has to be a balance somewhere. I realize that. But our job is to pay our part. And God will provide for us. If we'll do right by our money, God will take care of us. We pay our taxes. We pay our tithe. We give our offerings. God will take care of everything else. That is the responsibility of Christians when it comes to the government of this world. Because the powers that be are ordained of God. There is no power but of God. President Bush was in the seat of the White House because God allowed him to be there. Now, President Obama will be in the White House because God has allowed him to be there. You say, I don't like it. I didn't like this past one. I don't like this next one. It doesn't matter. They're there. And by the way, President Bush was my president, and now President Obama will be my president. By the way, I'll stand up against anything that I disagree with when he makes his statements, when he's trying to push a law. If as long as I can preach it from the Bible. See, not only do we have the responsibility to pay, the second thing was we have the responsibility to pray. We have to pray for our leaders. The Bible says so. Look with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. As I was thinking about the platform of the president-elect, I think it's what put this in my mind. I heard him say some radical things about the abortion and trying to lift the ban on what we call partial birth abortion and make abortion more easy on demand. I was listening to his speeches and many times heard him make certain issues about homosexuality. I thought, man, I don't like that. But now, it's not a responsibility of mine to be putting him down all the time, but lift him up, because if there's a God in heaven and on the throne, God's able to change those opinions, and God's able to keep certain things from happening. And by the way, there's things that he says that are right. Just like there were things that our present president says that are wrong, and certain things he said that are right. It's not our... I said this several years ago when I was teaching in a Bible college up in Tennessee. I stood before a group of men and I said, we preachers get up and all we want to do is put down and put down and put down, but I never find in the Bible where I'm supposed to put down those that are in authority. I find in the Bible I'm supposed to lift those up to God in prayer. We've got to get beyond all this. We got to get beyond the party lines and we got to get beyond the politics, and we got to get on our knees and get in touch with God again and realize that there's a God on the throne in heaven, and that when there's things that we don't like, we need to go to the one that can do something about it. I can go to an office higher than the president, and I can speak to a God that sits on the throne. I see a Savior that's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and I find out that He's able to do all and He exists in all, and difference, He's able to change the current, to change the tide. He's able to change things around, isn't He? God can change anybody. We're going to be here for the next 4 years. We're going to hear certain things from this president. Some things we'll like and some things we don't. But instead of being so critical, which we may... Look, I've stood... Since the day I was saved and began to preach, I have stood against abortion, and I've stood against the vile and wretched lifestyle of sodomy. I've stood against it, and I will stand against it till the day that I die. But there's more issues than just those two issues. And we have to understand that. We can't just look at those two. There's more things. We need to be praying about our economy. Instead of, and we've lived for 8 years with the president that we've had, and I guarantee you there's been a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and all they've wanted to do is gripe and complain and say he's the worst president we've ever had, and they probably never put up more than 10 prayers, if they even that many for him. Well, then we're hypocrites. Amen. And now we're going to be hypocrites if we have this guy in here and we don't like him. We need to pray for him. Amen. God's able. Our responsibility as Christians is to pay and to pray. We got to get beyond some of these things. We're not babies that put our head. We don't hide our heads and run away and go to the mountains and think it's the end of the world. No, we keep going for God. They may try to stop our mouths, but dear friends, if it costs jail time or prison time, we have to go forward. We have to do what God wants us to do, and we have a responsibility to pray. I listen to talk shows every now and then, and as I was listening this past week after the election, all I heard was how we're going to be in trouble. And I started saying, boy, that's a lot of faith in God. I heard preachers say we're hurting. And I was writing and I thought, everything's all right. I read the book and he's still in his place. He's not changed. The president's just a president, but God's God. I thank God for every president we've had. In my lifetime, Johnson was president when I was born. Nixon was president. Thank God for him. He was a protector of our freedom because that's where God placed him. Ford, Carter, Reagan, they've all had their faults. Then we had Bush Sr. Has any of us agreed with everything that any of them's done? We'd be idiots to say that we have, pardon me, we'd be foolish. to say that we have, I'm sorry. After Bush Sr. came Clinton. And we look, he did a great job with the economy of our land. There's no doubt about it. But he was one of the most immoral presidents as far as certain issues that we've had. But he was our president. And that's, I was going through some of these issues when he was our president, and that's when I stood before a group of men and I said, look here, I said, I may not like some of the things he's done, but my responsibility is to pray for him. Amen. I'm tired of us always just looking at the downside and not finding out that there is a God on the throne that we can get on our knees before and he can change the scene. And by the way, he can remove people from office too. He sets them up and he takes them down. When I say that, I'm not wishing anything ill to happen to any of our presidents. I think the worst thing that happened to our nation is for a president to be eliminated in a terrible way. We need to pray for the protection of our president. We need to pray not only as he protects us, but that God would protect him. We need to pray that God would change the president-elect's course of thought on certain issues. Instead of being down and thinking, you know, he's wicked, he's evil. No, what we need to do is we need to say, God, you're right and you're holy, and the things that he's wrong on, help him to get right on it. I remember thinking I was going to have to run to the hills and hide several years ago when a certain president came in because of everything that I heard, but I found out I made it through it. Here I am, I'm still living in the land of the free and the home of the brave, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because the prayers of God's people, the world may seem to be going further and further and further into ungodliness and worldliness, but thank God there's still a remnant of people that believe there's a God on the throne and we can get in touch with Him and He can save us and He can help us and He can strengthen us. So let's get back on our knees before God. Let's quit criticizing and let's start praying again. I believe God has given us responsibility to pay, to pray, and then thirdly, to obey. The Bible says back in our text, verse number 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's talking about judgment. We need to realize that when we don't honor the office, the place that God has allowed somebody to be, and we resist the power, the laws, the ordinances, as long as they're not anti-biblical, then we're going to face condemnation. We'll be judged. Now, I was raised a party person. Not that kind of party. Lord, help us. Can this message be over? The quicker, the better. But I found out there's more to it than just politics, than parties, than just a person that sits in the White House. There's a responsibility as Christians, as a believer. I made the comment one time and somebody said, "You weren't raised that way." And I said, "Oh, yes, I was. I was raised to think for myself. I was raised to look at the Bible and come to a conclusion for myself. I was raised to do what I really believed was right according to God's Word. And that's how I was raised." So you may not think I was raised that way, but you're wrong. And I found through my lifetime there have been presidents in that I voted for and presidents in that I did not vote for. But the greatest thing I could do was pay my tribute, my taxes, to do my civic duty, to pray, that's my Christian duty, and to obey, that's my moral duty. And if I'm not willing to obey the laws of the land, then I'm not the kind of citizen that God would want me to be. God allows the leadership whether we like or dislike the leadership. When we dislike the leadership, it does not relieve our responsibility as Christians. We have to continue doing what God wants us to do and praying whether we like or dislike. I think some people thought the end of the world would come before Wednesday morning got here. Some one group so far this way. Woke up Wednesday morning, sun still came. Well, it was real cloudy. I told Jody, I said, "A dark cloud over the world today." Just kidding. But there was another day. And there'll be another day tomorrow unless the Lord Jesus decides to return. You say, "Is this a political message? What are you trying to say?" I'm just saying tonight, I've heard so many people critical of the elections this past week. So many people critical of the elections this past week. And I thought, I'm sick of it. I've not heard a lot of people here. I'm just saying outside of here especially. The powers that be are ordained of God. And being ordained of God, that means I have a responsibility. The powers that be are put in place to protect, to preserve, and to punish. And dear friends, I think that now my responsibility is to pray for these last 60-something days of the current presidency and pray for the safety of our next president and for right decisions to be made. Now hang on. His platform on certain issues is so far anti-biblical, I know that, but I'm going to pray that God will do something about it. And if he pushes certain issues, I'm going to say, I don't think that's right according to the Bible. But it goes further than the two issues that were mentioned. That's the two that you hear the most. So don't forget that. Every president we've had has had their faults. And if we'll do our job as Christians, by the way, if God's people would get right, we wouldn't be in the shape we're in. Lord, help us. Well, it's been that political season. And I preached several political type messages in certain ways without endorsing any candidate or any party.
and I never will. I'll thank God till the day I die, as long as we have freedom, and I get to go to a little old booth and I can cast my ballot and realize it is my civic duty and responsibility to do so, and I will thank God for that freedom. And whoever God allows to be the president, I'll thank God that He put him in that place. And I'll ask God to help him or her to be the best leader that our country can have. I love America. I love this land. And by the way, I didn't start loving it when a certain one became a candidate. I've loved it all along. I didn't love it when a certain one became president 16 years ago or 8 years ago anymore. I've always loved America and counted a privilege. But as an American, my duty goes deeper because I'm a Christian before I'm an American. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim in this land. We learned about that this morning, didn't we? Pilgrim with a purpose. I heard they were getting t-shirts in the ladies' class. I don't know what that was about, but I heard about it. Let's be what God wants us to be. Let's pray for our president. And let's pray for our president-elect. And let's trust God. Father, we thank You for Your love. Lord Jesus, tonight our country, we're in trouble in certain ways. We realize that. Lord, I believe You've shown me why we're in trouble. It's because we've forgotten Thee, isn't it? We've left You out in so many of our decisions, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, help me. I have failed to pray about our leadership the way that I should. I failed to pray about certain decisions, and I failed to stand as strong as I should. God, please forgive me. But Lord, tonight we pray for our president, President Bush. We pray for our next president, President Obama. And Lord, we pray that we would see Your mighty hand working, whether it be the hand of blessing or the hand of judgment. Lord, may we be molded by Your hand to be what You want us to be conformed to Your image. As You bless, may we give You the glory. And as You judge, may we repent. We turn to Thee. Lord, as You move in our lives, may we follow Your leadership. Bless our church. Help us, Lord, to pray for our leaders, not just our president, but all of our leaders, local, state, federal. Lord, help us to realize You have Your hand, the powers that be ordained by Thee. Help us to trust Thee with these decisions. It's in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.